Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I am James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, combining two of the greatest storytelling companies in the world. We've got that. Plus, it only costs a cool billy to join the Gaza Board of Peace. But first, BlackRock's Larry Fink says Davos feels just so out of step to many. Grabbing this from Yahoo Finance, the World Economic Forum has become a cloistered and self-congratulatory body out of touch with economic realities. Its new leader, BlackRock CEO Larry Fink, said at the opening evening of the 2026 conference, "For many people, this meeting feels out of step with the moment. Elites in an age of populism, an established institution in an era of deep institutional distrust." And there's truth in that critique. If WEF is going to be useful going forward, it has to regain that trust. He hinted that the forum, which holds occasional offshoots in China and the Middle East, will add new events in places where the modern world is actually built, naming Detroit, Dublin, Jakarta, and Buenos Aires. Larry Fink, who runs the world's largest money manager, took over as World Economic Forum last year after its founder and longtime frontman, boogeyman Klaus Schwab, stepped down following an internal investigation into his spending and his disgusting workplace behavior. It's more disgusting just to think about him doing that. It's obvious that the world now places far less trust in us to help shape what comes next, he said, but noted that he wouldn't be leading the forum if he didn't believe in it. Despite this year's record attendance of 850 CEOs and 65 heads of state, who wish they were CEOs, Davos faces a growing perception as an echo chamber for elites whose global standing has waned, seen both as unpopular and toothless. The 20th century multilateralism that Davos advanced is crumbling under U.S. President Donald Trump, who was set to arrive Wednesday after some, you know, weird, sketchy plane difficulties, bringing his brand of populism and militarism. Mini-lateralism is quickly emerging as the buzzword here for the week in the Alps. In some related notes, Denmark skips Davos Forum in protest over the deepening Greenland crisis. And is Davos 2026 the last chance saloon to save the old world order, the Guardian frets? And I got one, James, from the Wall Street Journal. I'm trying to find the actual article. My thing is paywalled, I guess. Trump's Truth Social posts on Greenland darkened the mood at Davos. And this is the thing that's been getting me here in the States, James, not only the last year, but now nearly the last 9 or so years. Imagine this energy the past few decades. Trump's bellicose nature makes our sniveling technocratic slow boil seem too obvious now. The same feckless little Eichmanns that either actually took part in helping build the police state or through their tacit approval of doing nothing helped, you know, let the police state be built. They're now mad that someone is using the ish out of it. It's all been built. The unitary executive, the decider-in-chief, didn't get figured out and taken by Trump. It's been built over the last couple of decades through Bush, through Obama, through the War of Terror, through both parties of this fascist bird. James, Davos, 2026.
You're exactly right there, James. We are seeing levels of schadenfreude that shouldn't be possible at this point, where watching these clowns wet their pants over the Trump bull in the Davos China shop is delightful to watch in a number of ways and leads to craziness, zaniness, Looney Tunes level nonsense that we have never seen before. Like this from the Globe and Mail: military models Canadian response to hypothetical American invasion. Reporting that the Canadian Armed Forces, for the first time in its history, has now modeled a hypothetical U.S. military invasion of Canada and the country's potential response, noting that the U.S. would undoubtedly overwhelm Canada's strategic positions on land and sea within a week and possibly as quickly as 2 days. So what are they going to do? They're going to unleash unconventional warfare in response to such things, using tactics used by the Afghan Mujahideen in their hit-and-run attacks on Russian soldiers during the 1979 to 1989 Soviet-Afghan War, including using irregular military or armed civilians to ambush, sabotage, use drone warfare, or hit-and-run tactics. Total craziness that is taking place as people melt down over this spat over Iceland, as Dementia Dawn called it, no less than four times in his World Economic Forum speech, where he was clearly talking about Greenland, but he called it Iceland four times. I subjected myself to 45 minutes of Dementia Dawn's speech there at Davos until he started rambling again about Biden and inflation and America's the hottest country on the planet, and I gave up. And I watched about 15 minutes of Carney's speech talking about the destruction of the old world order. So yes, Schadenfreude to be had there. And also in the very act of this total spectacle nonsense, Zaphod Beeblebrox's level stage show that's being put on for everyone right now, that is finally, totally eviscerating, completely melting down that image of, oh, the American presidency, it's such a pristine and prestigious position and honor and, oh, this sacred sacrament of the holy religion of the state. No one takes it seriously anymore, and that's to the good. But this Schadenfreude is obviously tempered by a couple of facts. One is that, of course, what we are seeing is the pre-planned, engineered destruction of the old world order, because you cannot erect a new world order without destroying the old world order, something, a point that I've made many, many times, but we are watching it happen in real time. And we're watching it through, for example, Fink's speech to Davos, where he was cloaking all of his agenda and taking the whole thing, but now packaging it up in populist terms that will float well with the plebs these days. Since the fall of the Berlin Wall, more wealth has been created than in any time prior in human history. But in advanced economies, that wealth is accrued to a far narrower share of people than any healthy society can ultimately sustain. Most of the people affected by what we talk about here will never come to this conference. That's the central tension of this forum. Davos is an elite gathering trying to shape a world that belongs to everyone. Yeah, that's all true. So what's he suggesting? Well, of course, he's trying to take the stakeholder capitalism idea, the ESG nonsense that he was pimping a few years ago, rebrand it as populist. Because no, we're trying to share the wealth. We're just trying to come up with ideas about how to share the wealth. Like, for example, how to better make AI serve the people and not take away your jobs and all of that kind of stuff. How are we going to do that? Bada bing, bada boom. Financial tokenization of everything by putting all natural assets on a blockchain, which of course is exactly what Fink and his fellow technocrats have been arguing for years. So that's one of the reasons we should not necessarily be celebrating the meltdown of the old world order, because they already have a new world order coming in to take its place. The other thing is the transition from old world order to new world order will be paved. That street will be paved with the blood of many millions and millions and millions of innocent people. That is going to happen. Welcome to the year of the storm, everyone. We are starting to see what that looks like, but we have not seen anything yet. And I am not relishing this in any way. As much as the Schadenfreude warms the cockles of my heart, I am not looking forward to what comes next.
Whether intentionally or not, you're invoking Kissinger. What is it? Millions of people will die in vain, throwing themselves against our world order, and we'll continue to keep building it. But you do, James. I mean, you got to give it to them in some ways for their rebounds and their pump fakes of how well they're able to kind of play this game and go, okay, like you said, the ESG, the DEI, that thing just really blew up in our face the last couple of years. But they can do a little, you know, evasive maneuvers and turn around. And with the Madison, you know, Avenue culture creators, they can make a lot of people change a lot of minds. James, have been playing real classic old episodes, earliest episodes of Media Monarchy and of New World Next Week on my Monarchy radio streams, and doing them from this day in history. Today, playing 16-year-old episodes of New World Next Week. We weren't numbering them yet. I think it's probably down in the single digits. But it's that build over and over and over again. That's the story that I see playing 16-year-old episodes. This is what they'll do. They'll bring it on. Something will happen. It'll blow up in their face. But they'll have moves to turn the Ron Paul Liberty Movement into the Tea Party. And this mutation of anything that might kind of try and grow and help people. They don't like that kind of competition. James, possibly Canada might get some tips from that Ukrainian Nazi they hosted in their parliament. He might give them some unconventional, you know, fourth generation war tips. And yeah, again, the idea that, you know, back in my day, the president wasn't some actor front man. We had 8 years of that as Reagan. Well, back in my day, the Democrats were just abusing interns in their office. Good grief. James, I've got a clip of President Clinton's weekly radio address. Do they still do that? Now I wonder. Hey, if Trump's going to save AM radio, maybe they still actually do the presidential radio address. I've got one from the Clinton era where he's talking about, we've got to get rid of all these illegal aliens. And he uses that language. He uses the gross illegal alien language, the same exact things. Again, sometimes they get a spotlight on them. Other times that spotlight very purposefully is moved away. Our second story on This New World Next Week, episode 616, we take, yes, from RonPaulInstitute.org, and all our wild accusations are always sourced and cited in our show notes. Trump wants a $1 billion fee from states looking to join the Gaza Board of Peace. According to a Bloomberg report, the Trump administration is asking nations interested in holding a permanent seat on a proposed Gaza Strip Board of Peace to pledge at least $1 billion in funding. Bloomberg described that U.S. allies and regional partners have already been briefed on the concept as part of wider diplomatic efforts to influence and direct Gaza's future after the Israel-Hamas conflict. So already saying, again, what? You're still talking about that? We've already planned for the new world order after we destroy this certain setup. The intent of the funding threshold is reportedly to ensure that participating countries have substantial financial involvement in stabilizing the territory and supporting long-term redevelopment. Washington seems to be arguing that spreading the financial burden internationally is critical to preventing American taxpayers from shouldering most of the reconstruction costs. So, of course, most Americans are going to go, boom, okay, I'm in. It's not going to cost me any more than the trillions you've already given to Israel. Oh, okay, I'll tacitly go along with this. Sadly, this was of no concern when those same taxpayers were footing the bill for billions in weaponry and foreign aid for Israel over prior years, even as Palestinian neighborhoods got flattened by U.S. bombs. Officials privy to internal deliberations told Bloomberg several European nations have been invited to join the peace board. The draft appears to suggest Trump himself would control the money, something that would be considered unacceptable to most countries who could have potentially joined the board. The Times of Israel has obtained a copy of the text of the board's charter, which says, quote, each member state shall serve a term of no more than 3 years from the charter's entry into force, subject to renewal by the chairman, Chairman Trump. The three-year membership term shall not apply to member states that contribute more than $1 billion in cash funds to the Board of Peace within the first year of the charter's entry into force. Again, James, it does feel like it's a more honest empire. Hey, give us your cash. We're also going to do a bunch of wars and stuff. We call it the Department of War. We're not really lying or hiding anything about the empire anymore. Trump's Gaza Peace Board faces opposition as France pulls back. France, the second largest arms dealer on the planet, France pulls back as Canada refuses to pay. In other news, Trump appoints Blair Rubio Kushner as Gaza Board of Peace chairs. Have we already reported that, James? And finally, of course, Netanyahu rejects Turkish and Qatari inclusion in Trump's Board of Peace for Gaza. So they got this whole plan and they already know who's not going to be allowed and who can pay to get on board. James.
That's exactly right. It's, paying to be part of the gangster roundtable of as to how to divvy up the world, because, of course, this isn't just about Gaza anymore. They're now starting to talk about expanding the scope of whatever this Board of Peace. And I'm with you. Yeah, Department of War, call it for what it is. Why don't they call it the Board of War? Because I think that's ultimately where we're heading. Or maybe there's an even more apt term, which we can get from Middle East Eye. U.S. announces Palestinian technocratic rule for Gaza under Trump's Board of Peace. Specifically, who announced this technocratic rule? Of course, Trump himself. As chairman of the Board of Peace, I am backing a newly appointed Palestinian technocratic government, the National Committee for the Administration of Gaza, supported by the board's high representative to govern Gaza during its transition. These Palestinian leaders are unwaveringly committed to a peaceful, all caps, future, as the Trumper-in-chief penned on Truth Social, which is, I guess, the replacement for those weekly presidential radio addresses. Now it's Truth Social, where we get to hear what the commander-in-chief thinks of all of this. And yes, it's going to be a technocratic government. But beyond that, this Board of Peace is, as some of the Europeans who are now starting to, oh, I don't think we're going to join up to this, are starting to intimate, well, this is going beyond the boundaries of Gaza, and this is essentially becoming some sort of counter UN sort of institution. So perhaps this is the follow-up to our story last week, US withdrawing from all these UN institutions and trying to create its own. I'll create our own UN with hookers and blackjack. Pay me $1 billion and you might be included on the board. That is where this is going. And I don't, you know, meet the new boss, same as the old boss, as far as I'm concerned. It does all sort of give sort of echoes, as I have talked about before, echoes of World War One. Well, I'd say this is echoes of the World War One, World War Two interwar period, with the League of Nations falling apart and people trying to scramble with ad hoc institutions to try to keep some sort of world peace together. We all know how that ended. So once again, we come back to the year of the storm and how all the pieces are being put on the table for the future wars. Anyway, here we are, guys, 2026. Hope you're enjoying it so far.
Again, I would note they stopped nothing before. They built nothing but death and destruction, but now they're somehow mad about it because Trump is bad and he's doing it with, I don't know that I would say with precision. It is sort of like a ham-fisted cudgel that, again, would not work had not the unitary executive been built up and let run wild over the last, what, I believe 25 years. Is that we got a big anniversary coming up a little later this year, James. Yeah, vertical video instead of a classic radio address by the fire. That's where we are in 2026. Mm. Our third and final story this week of bagmen and their pallets of cash. Mm. Netflix revamps its Warner Brothers bid seeking to thwart Paramount. Grabbing this from the New York Times, Netflix announced that it had modified its December offer to acquire major parts of Warner Brothers Discovery, a rejoinder to Paramount and its chief executive, David Ellison, who is also in hot pursuit of Warner Brothers. In December, Warner Brothers Discovery agreed to sell its streaming and studios business to Netflix in an $83 billion cash and stock deal. This week, Netflix said it would pay that sum exclusively in cash, small bills, unmarked, in bags. Please don't put the money sign on the outside. It's too obvious. Simplifying the deal for investors who will no longer have to account for Netflix's fluctuating stock price, as has been going on ever since any of all this started. Today's revised merger agreement brings us even closer to combining two of the greatest storytelling companies in the world. And you thought I was talking about Media Monarchy and Corbett Report at the opening of the show. So says David Zaslav, chief executive of Warner Brothers Discovery, in a statement. The move puts pressure on Paramount Sinai to further revise its own bid. For months, Hollywood has been on a cliffhanger, which is one of their movies, as Paramount and Netflix have duked it out for control of Warner Brothers Discovery, a messy tug of war that could help determine the trajectory of the entire entertainment industry. The battle is now being waged among Warner Brothers shareholders, who must ultimately approve any sale. And really, the sentence can stop right there, because that's the end of the story. The shareholders get to decide whether and how this is going to go forward. The battle is now being waged among Warner Brothers shareholders, who must ultimately approve any sale, comma, and in the hearts and minds of Hollywood's besieged creative class, who have already been reeling from decades of technological disruption and unending corporate consolidation. James, it does not include the Warner Music Group, and honestly, I think it is all about the DC Comics intellectual property. Disney's got Marvel. Netflix can have Superman and Wonder Woman and Batman. James, that's my media update for you.
Yeah, and it seems to me that we are being positioned to, in some way, in some level, we're at the very least, we're being presented, well, here are the two choices for the future of cinematic entertainment as you have known it. On the one hand, we have Netflix, which I don't know if people, I personally wasn't watching Matt Damon and Ben Affleck on Joe Rogan recently, but apparently they were on there, in which, as Hollywood Reporter reports, Matt Damon says Netflix wants plots reiterated 3 or 4 times in the dialogue for phone-distracted viewers. So he's talking about the way Netflix is already starting to lean on filmmakers to change the way films are structured for the ADHD-riddled fondle slab viewers, who are now the majority of their audience, talking about how traditional action movies have 3 acts, Act 1, Act 2, Act 3, and there's a big set piece, action piece in each one of the 3 acts. And the big explosion extravaganza is in Act 3, and it's kind of the finale, right? Well, now Netflix is starting to lean on producers and saying, can't you put it all in the first 5 minutes? Because we want to get people's attention so they won't stop, you know, watching after the first 5 minutes. And they're saying, well, it would be good if you, you know, include, just basically go over the entire plot a few, three or four times in the dialogue so that people don't forget, because they're distracted. They're watching it on phones. So that's the Netflix vision of the future. On the other side, we, of course, have the Zionist Ellisons that we've talked about before in Paramount, right? So which flavor of propaganda and nonsense and ADHD inducing media comatosis do you want? However, the reality, of course, the one that they don't want you to think about is it's not a choice of those two, what is it, Netflix Brothers or Parawarner. No, we have a different idea of a choice, like actual real people creating their own media for their own enjoyment and consumption and spreading that in alternative communities, independent communities. It's possible, guys. And hey, maybe the two media titans that are merging that everyone should talk about is Corbett Report and Media Monarchy, more so than Netflix and or Warner Brothers and or Paramount or whatever stew they come up with. So anyway, I just want to keep that third space open of, hey, we don't need their crap and we can start making our own.
Well, and isn't it interesting? I mean, you're basically describing what movie trailers have been for the last, what, maybe always, but put everything into the trailer so that there's no surprises and that you'll know exactly what you're buying when you get that McDonald's Big Mac. Whether you're in Oklahoma City or Albuquerque, it'll still be this sort of same homogenized entertainment. James, they'll also, Netflix will also get Turner Classic Movies in this deal, which, speaking of the Blipvert TikTok kind of generation, Turner Classic Movies is the old thing with no commercials, no interruptions whatsoever. What would they do to it? Would they leave it alone? Would they use it and maybe even prop it up a little more? It might even just turn into, here's the funny old thing that Grandpa likes. We'll leave it alone. Who knows? But again, you're absolutely right. We all have the power to make all of our own media. It's kind of like that thing I've said on my show for a long, long time about not railing and hating the media. If you even want to get into the battle, don't worry about hating it. You can make your own. James, we run newworldnextweek.com for Media Monarchy and Corbett Report gear. Also got Corbett Report USBs and DVDs, and those t-shirts that we are restocking just started to show up. They're coming in a few different shipments, but those will start to show up in stock on the store very soon. And how are you supposed to know about that? If you don't, just sign up. You can sign up for an account at newworldnextweek.com. We email you very rarely about new stocks, new items, discounts, and goodies, James. And I get to run the exclusive audio of these New World Next Week episodes on my own Monarchy Radio, which anybody can find at MediaMonarchy.com/listen. James, there is episode 616. I hear a cat behind me getting very mad that the door is shut.
Well, we better let that cat in. So thank you again for the three stories. Looking forward to doing it again.
Thanks so much, buddy. Take care.